Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you.
An unusual scripture, maybe, but maybe not. Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. Probably about 9 years ago, I started writing sort of an informational thing for the Sunday school class I teach. And it evolved into devotional sort of short writing. And then it just sort of grew from there. And it's usually weekly, sometimes 2 or 3 weeks. But this is something I wanted to share with you that I wrote probably 2 years ago when my dad was still around. And it was called Treasured and Pondered. Chapter 2 of the book of Luke tells us the angels announced the birth of Jesus, and the shepherds were amazed. The shepherds hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When the shepherds had seen Jesus, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed. And then the scripture says, "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." Then, just a few verses later, Luke tells of Jesus being presented in the temple and the prophecies of Simeon and Anna, then on to the story of Jesus at age 12 remaining behind at the temple in his father's house, listening to the teachers and asking them questions and amazing them with his understanding and his answers. And again, his mother treasured all these things in her heart. What did it mean for Mary to treasure and ponder in her heart? Jesus was 100% God, but he was also 100% human, so he was 100% raised by a human mother. And his mother was a treasuring and pondering sort of mother. So consider this. The human person of Jesus was formed by a mother who treasured and pondered. Mary, a follower of God, was thus the sort of person who was other-centered, enough that she could treasure and ponder someone other than herself. In this case, her own child. Oh, she was so much like the God of her people Israel to treasure and ponder. That's like him. How much did Mary's treasuring and pondering form Jesus? Yes, he was 100% God, but he was 100% human, so how critical was it for Mary to be the sort of mother God called her to be? Early on, Mary did not know exactly what would happen to her child, but she trusted God. Treasuring and pondering is in part the substance of trusting God with the lives of our children. Mary's treasuring and pondering were actually prayers without ceasing regarding her child Jesus. Her spirit treasured and pondered jointly with the Spirit of God in worship and wonder. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men, people. Mary has a descendant, at least in spirit, as in Holy Spirit, named Hazel Pettyjohn Scoggins, my mother. She has treasured and pondered her children, me and her sister. Her treasuring and pondering gave itself to diaper after diaper, bottle after bottle, thinking what will be safest, best, fun, and good for her children, day after day, year after year. She did not know how it would turn out, but she treasured and pondered the amazing phenomenon of having children. And she flat out loved hers. She did not know the future of her children, but like Mary, she trusted God, and she prayed a lot, and still does. She preferred the well-being of her children to her own well-being. No self-centered, smart-aleck put-downs. No, don't bother me, I'm eating potato chips and watching Price is Right. Or these days, tapping on the face of a smartphone while the child said, "Mama, Mama, Mama." None of this, "I'm too tired to listen to you." No avoiding disciplining her children. Treasuring and pondering is not the same as spoiling a child. Treasuring and pondering consistently loves and hopes with firm, kind hands, affirming listening, and affirming words. This was written when my dad was alive a couple of years ago. I wrote, these days I watched my mother carefully and lovingly comb my father's hair. Not too many people would care how well combed is the hair of a nearly 90-year-old man who cannot remember well, but she does, painstakingly and with no strain of patience. She makes sure each wave of my father's hair is in place. I watch and I realize I'm still being formed by the love of one who treasures and ponders. Such is a true mother. Do you get some idea of what your child will be when they are young? Do you form who they are? How do you do that? What sort of things does a mother treasure and ponder about her children? How is that different from living your life through your children? Treasuring and pondering reveals a heart that knows how to love. With permission, someone I know who's lived a tumultuous, hard life told me his mother would say she wished she had her tubes tied before there was any chance of him being born. He was not treasured or pondered. Thus comes tumult. I wish he had known my mother at the critical times when treasuring and pondering is formative. Maybe there's a role for the mothers of the church to treasure and ponder beyond their own households. My mom is a part of those mothers of the church, treasuring and pondering beyond their own household, treating all with kindness and respect, helping selflessly, looking first before herself to all God's children, a mother of all, a mother to all. And she's now treasuring and pondering great-grandchildren. What a treasure for them to know Grammy. That is one of the best gifts God has given my family, especially me. Just to see the little ones interact with her and see them feel the presence of being treasured and pondered. She is forming them in a good way. Just to know your life is treasured and pondered by a good, good mother is the very breath of God breathing life into you. Just to know your life is treasured and pondered by a good, good mother is the very breath of God breathing life into you. I know. Amen for that. And then one other reading. I won't keep you long, but I wrote this yesterday, not knowing I was going to be up here today. It's called Happy Mother's Day Joy. But it's not sad. All right, listen, here we go. Some mothers are concerned about whether or not they are good mothers, and some are concerned about their children. There is a difference. Being a, quote, good mother can be about what other people think of you. I don't want anybody to think I'm a bad mother, you know. You know how that goes these days. Being concerned for your children is about the children. Some ancient cultures looked down upon women who were not mothers and used negative terms like barren to deride them for not having biological offspring. As our broken humanity so quickly reveals itself, we like to lift ourselves up through putting others down. Not us. God might see it differently, don't you think? He would more likely see it as, what have you done with the ones I have given into your care? Whatever form he gives to that care. For my adult children, this will be the first Mother's Day without their mother. Joy died nearly 7 months ago. She was one of those who did not worry so much about whether people thought she was a good mother. Her focus was on the children God gave into her care. She simply loved them. Being a mother was about her children. What else could it be about? Was she a perfect mother? Again, thinking that way is about being called mother and not about the children. But my memory holds pictures of God's perfect moving in her life. God's perfect moving in her life, forming her as his person through the life and through the children he gave her and that she openly received from him. I can picture her sitting in our little Toyota at the University of Georgia, holding our first son, Ryan, across her lap as he slept, snuggled perfectly there in deep baby sleep. And she, my young wife, with a new treasuring and pondering countenance about her face that I had not seen before and that only God could paint. I can see her changing diapers of our toddlers, then always picking up whichever one it was, kissing them, then putting that one, little one, down to toddle away. I can remember little Ben lying at one end of the couch with a bottle in his hands and mouth, and little Emily at the other end with a bottle in her hands and mouth. And Joy, who had just filled both bottles, standing there off to one side, just watching for a long time, then turning to walk back into the little kitchen of the two-bedroom duplex where she and I and our four children lived back then. I can picture her carrying pre-walking baby Daniel around fairly constantly, one arm dedicated to him and one arm dedicated to the other three. She never, ever complained. I can hear her voice some years later while trying to get them to stop giggling and lie down and go to sleep, saying sternly, "Lay your heads down." And in another situation, I remember hearing her say to them, "If I come back in here and this room is not cleaned up, I'm going to whip all of you." But much more frequently, much, much more frequently, I heard her delightfully laughing at all their shenanigans. Such beautiful laughter. That's the best music I've ever heard. I recall her driving all over town in the pre-Amazon era looking for a log truck that Ben wanted for Christmas, not relenting until she found one at the Western Auto Store when we lived in Rome. She always knew exactly what they wanted as Christmas gifts, and she always knew how to put together fun birthday parties, graciously including their many little friends, and she always knew when something wasn't quite right with one of them, super tuned to their moods with a mama's radar. And she knew how to warmly and unhesitatingly enter their griefs and concerns. After all, they were hers. She hauled them around in our Dodge Caravan, thousands, maybe millions of miles, to school, from school, to sporting events, from sporting events, to practices, from practices, making sure they had all their stuff together, listening, always listening to their conversations, hearing their hearts, and with her care, forming their hearts. And all without writing down lists to keep up with all the details. She simply knew. Year after year, she simply knew. And she especially hauled them to church. Even when my medical work required me to miss church, it was paramount to her that they be at church, so she took them. Why? Because she knew there is no other community or gathering where the Lord is formed within them. She believed that though it is not the only place her children might meet God, it was His idea to meet us in this place and in this way. So she honored God's idea of the significance of a community of believers. She wanted her children to know the Lord, and she knew that was the main place for it to happen. She took them to church, and she taught them at church, along with a lot of other people's kids, and she trusted God that He would let them know who He is. She trusted God that He loved her kids as much as she did. All the books in the world could not hold or explain all that Joy did for our children, but the main thing she did for them was to pray for them. I'm so glad for her and for where she is now, though I've missed her most severely these days. But I am so glad she is in the presence of the Lord. I don't know exactly what that situation looks like, but I'll bet it's pretty good. And having direct access to the Lord, I think she's still praying for her children. She is talking directly with the Lord for her children. I think she's praying and hoping she will see them all again, and all their spouses and all our grandchildren, all in full bloom, turn to God, receiving Him, realizing their places and roles in His kingdom. I can still hear her voice as we held hands across the little bar in our kitchen, sitting face to face, facing one another, about to have a meal she prepared for us, as she prayed every time, not for the food, but first for her children. She wants them to meet face to face their King and Lord, who loves them with the deepest love of father and mother. Parents give their kids a lot of things, as Joy did, but Joy also gave them her honest self and her deep trust in God. And she still does. I wrote yesterday, but it's now the day before yesterday, through great tears and prayers about her own motherhood tribulations, alone at her mother's grave, my daughter Emily, after a time of tears, looked up and saw across a nearby grassy field a mother deer and her baby deer safely at the mama deer's side, quietly grazing. Some would say it was coincidence, but for Emily, who is versed in Scripture and in God's ways, thanks greatly to her mother, she heard the comforting, reaffirming voice of God. In that circumstance, Emily heard the one who called her own mother and has called her to the gift, the treasure, the struggle, the work, the responsibility, the delight, and the holy ordination of motherhood in the eternal kingdom of God. Emily will live on and humbly be a mom like Joy. Happy Mother's Day. Amen.
Thank you again for allowing us to worship with you on this Lord's Day. We look forward to worshiping with you again. God bless you.